Welcome to You Can Turn This Around, the podcast. I'm your host, Lazara Canton. I am here to explore with you the connection between personal development and spiritual growth, the joining point where the human experience of growth meets soul evolution. Pushing ourselves to become the best version of us, coming into our true essence and power. And so today I want to talk about a concept that I absolutely love, one that I've stolen from someone who I deeply admire. And you will have heard me talk about her before. I'm becoming more than a little bit obsessed. And it's the work of Andrea and Sal Morningstar. And they talk about this idea, this frequency, this feeling that there is only one of us in the room. I love it. I love the sentiment behind it. I love the power that it brings. And I really see it as a truth. It's one of these things that when I hear someone see it or I come across it, I go, yes. Not just a mind, yes, a full body, soul. I feel my being saying yes. And there's only one of us in the room. To me, that talks to the interconnectedness of our beings. How, as humans living this experience on this in this lifetime on the planet, it really brings forth the clarity, the interconnectedness of our beings. If we're all just parts or fractals of the divine, if we've all got the true essence of who we are, and we feel into that more of the time, then the understanding and the feeling that there is only one of us here becomes so much more powerful as we go about our day. And so in this episode, what I'd love to do is just to bring you into that concept and how I've seen and experienced that concept unfolding in my life. I've often been asked over the years, what do I stand for? What are the things that I'm passionate about? And this is one of them. This is a biggie for me. I think if you look at my life, and the fact even that my story, when I wrote my book, gets divided up into the countries and cultures in which I've lived, then I've got a very unique experience. I feel like a lot of the time in my life, I have been in on the outside of cultures looking in. And what that's allowed me to see now, and this has only come with wisdom and knowledge and reflection, is that I have a very different and unique perspective, because if you're on the outside looking in to different cultures, different ways of being, then two things happen. One, you get to smile and love and celebrate the differences of us all. You get to be able to see very clearly how our differences, different cultures, different races, different backgrounds, I can see really clearly how these bring together very unique and very magnificent experiences that wouldn't be possible if we were just all the same. And the second thing that it does is exactly what I'm, the second thing that I can see is exactly what I'm talking about today. I can see very clearly how it doesn't matter where you come from, who your family were, where you were brought up, we all hold the same essence and truth underneath it all. At the end of the day, we all want what's best for our families and our loved ones. At the end of the day, we all want to be able to show up to be the best version of ourselves. And so I remember years ago listening to a podcast interview with Maya Angelou, the great Maya Angelou, and Oprah Winfrey. It was a Sunday evening. I was just really relaxed and chilled, and I just sat there and I could feel the connectedness between those two beautiful human beings. I could feel the power and the wisdom of what they were talking about. And Maya Angelou shared her very, very unique and very challenging upbringing. How she was the first female conductor in the San Francisco trams. Actually, the first black female conductor. And like how she had made such wise and such profound choices in her life when she had come from a really difficult place. She had a very tough childhood, racism, she was raped, she had so many obstacles to overcome as a human being. And I remember sitting on my tiny sofa in Hong Kong in, I think, 2017, listening to this podcast, and it just burst my heart wide open. I was sobbing. I felt so much pain and so much grief that a human being would have to endure so much as a young girl, have to come through so many different challenges, have to be able to, it just overwhelmed me. And then, as I felt it, as I really felt what the impact that her upbringing had on me, something else began to come through. And it was this real pride and awe that someone could come through all of that and build the life that she has lived. Her story of how she turned her life around, how she didn't let anyone bring her down. And even one of her most famous poems, which I absolutely love, "And Still I Rise," it gives me goosebumps every time. Because what this does for me, listening to someone like that, it gives me so much hope. Even in all the tragedy and the hardships that she's had to endure, and I couldn't for one second imagine how difficult that must be to grow up with that level of racism, to grow up with so many people around you not believing in you for something as simple as the colour of your skin and your background. I couldn't even glimpse, I wouldn't even be able to see how difficult that would be. And what her story did for me was realise how amazing my own journey has been, and how amazing it is that if someone can go through all of that and achieve what she's achieved, then what's possible for us? What's possible for everyone? You see, there is only one of us in the room. And I think as a human being, I have a responsibility, as being in the majority of the white upbringing, background, the power that we hold as being in the majority, we've got to give an extra voice, an extra support, an extra power to those that are in the minority. There is only one of us in the room. And the more that we celebrate our differences, the more that we celebrate what other people have to go through, the more we can find our power within us. The more we can look at our lives and turn our lives around. I remember one of the hardest talks that I've ever had to give in my professional career was again in Hong Kong. The Equal Opportunities Commission were doing a project whereby they were looking at all the top organisations of finance, etc., all the industry, and looking at how they could improve the numbers of minorities that they employed and how they could stop any challenges and barriers. And they invited me along to talk at one of their big launches of this project. And I was so excited because I have so much to say on this topic and I'm so passionate about it. And I walked into the room and I just froze. I looked around. There was people from all different cultures. It was beautiful. It was like people from India, people from Malaysia, Chinese, everyone that represents Asia. And it's such a cultural diverse mix. It's quite fantastic to look at. But on this occasion, I walked in and I froze. My heart sank because I thought, who am I to stand up here, the main speaker, as a white person? And I don't even think I was the main speaker. I think I was a speaker, but then I had to do an activity with them afterwards. But I did feel like, how do I have a voice in this? I don't know what these people are having to go through. I'm not in a minority group. And suddenly I felt really uncomfortable in my own skin with my blonde hair. And I just didn't know if I was going to be able to bring enough gravitas and enough power to what I was going to say. And so I sat there and it felt like every single second, every minute was like an hour long. I always get excited, stroke nervous before I have to talk in front of large groups of people. But this was different. This was fear. You know the fear that you feel when you can barely talk, you can barely think. My mind was blank. My throat was very dry. And you know what I did? I prayed that I would be able to get up there and offer something to this beautiful group of individuals there for a very worthy cause. What could my voice bring to the room? What could my unique perspective bring to the room? And then I did feel a strength. I did feel a power. And I got up there and I showed them my unique view of the world. I shared with them about how on a recent, very recent to the speech, trip to Scotland, trip back home, I had experienced something that broke my own heart. Having lived at that point in Hong Kong for almost 5 years, I would make an annual pilgrimage back to Scotland. And I always felt really welcome in Hong Kong. I've always felt really welcome in all of the countries that I've lived in. And of course, there are challenges. Of course, there are people who look at you strangely because you don't seem to know what you're doing in their customs and their culture and their country as you fumble around trying to fit in the best way that you can. And so I felt very welcome in Hong Kong. And at that point, I very naively had made the assumption that everyone going to Scotland would feel welcome. And I told them about the story, how I went to Scotland via Heathrow, got to Edinburgh Airport, they had lost their bags, and I realised there was a group of local Cantonese ladies who had been on my flight. I recognised them, so I went over to chat with them. Yep, they too were on my flight, and their bags hadn't showed up. My bags hadn't showed up. They weren't on the belt at all, and we'd waited for such a long time. And so we realised there was a information office. They went ahead of me and I hung back as I overheard the conversation. They were asking the lady, what's happened to her bags? How can we get them back? And the lady was really awful to them. She was repeatedly saying, I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying. Sorry, what happened? Like, very rude, very abrupt. And I just felt like crying because their accent and how they were talking to the lady, in my perspective, was crystal clear. There wasn't any ambiguity. They were very clear about what they were saying. And it reminded me of something that my mum always used to say. If two people want to communicate with each other, then they will. Language is not a barrier. And this comes from a lady who came to Spain in the late 60s, I think, early 70s with my dad. Couldn't speak a word of English. And she was able to understand quite quickly, like, who in my dad's family was prepared to communicate with her and who wasn't. And like my gran, she always says that her and my gran had full conversations and they never shared a language. And later on, we had a Russian domestic helper, when we were in Istanbul. And again, my mom used to fully communicate with her, even although they couldn't speak the language. And so I just realized that in that moment that here were people who, coming from where I had lived for 5 years and I'd been welcomed and treated with great respect, they weren't being treated as I would have expected them to be treated in my own country. And that made me sad. And that opened my eyes. I guess in that moment, I realised that I was probably being quite naive to assume that everyone in Scotland felt the same as me. And then so the other story that I shared with them was how I showed up in primary school, very early years, in a school in Spain, not being able to speak a single word of Spanish. Oh, sorry, not a single word. That's probably quite harsh on little Lazara. I could probably mumble or pull together a few sentences, but nothing that intense, nothing that useful. As I stood there in the class, realizing that no one in the school could speak English. And so that was a scary moment for me, but I found my way. I was able to communicate. I was able to learn the language. And then the other story that I shared with them was how in Istanbul, the local Turkish team were meeting someone who had flown in from the UK. And I was sitting in the meeting as they got to know each other. The guy was telling my colleagues from Turkey about how he had started this diet. And what was the diet? They were asking, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I just cook everything from fresh. My wife and I just buy everything local and we cook everything from fresh. And there was some confused looks on their faces. And I sat back and smiled as they attempted to explain again. I had to intervene and say, well, actually, this is exactly how Turkish people cook anyway. They've got no concept of ready meals and cooking from frozen. So what you're basically telling is you're telling them your special diet is actually how they eat. And I just love that. I love being on the outside looking in, because very easily you can see how people get confused, how people get afraid, how our human nature stops us from truly connecting to someone else just because we don't understand that unique perspective that the other person has. There is only one of us ever in the room. And so I made them laugh at this Equal Opportunities Commission talk. I gave them my story through my lens of how I've experienced different cultures. I have been so lucky to be welcomed into so many different rooms to be able to share this unique perspective. And what it's done for me, it's really opened my eyes and how I see things. I guess my creativity, my excitement for experiencing new things would never be as much and as vast and as expansive as what it is now had I not been put in those multiple different scenarios, or if I'd not gone and sought them out. And I don't know what the future will hold for me, whether I'm going to end up living in Spain, putting my daughter through school here. It's kind of very much on my mind now as we go into the final 18 months before, I keep saying 18 months, it's not 18 months, it's less than that now. But as we decide where we're going to put her into school, I do have a feeling and a sense that there's probably one more country for me. There's one more place where I'm going to end up living in this lifetime. And I'm just excited to see how it all unfolds. And so, if you know this to be true, that there is only one of us in the room, how might you show up differently as a human being? If you can really see how connected that we all are, how the love that we feel, the essence and the power that we feel within us, is actually the same as what everyone else feels. There's a real simplicity and beauty that can be found in this fact. If our only task in this lifetime was to understand that truth, Our mind's constantly looking for, what is the truth? What am I supposed to be doing? What is my purpose? Imagine if we only focused on being able to see everyone in our lives as they truly are, even in their pain, even in their confusion, in their fear. If we all seen everyone in our lives as a true reflection of ourselves, it's already a profound lesson. This would really raise the consciousness of you, the people around you. It would raise the vibration of the world, and it could change your life. This simplicity can be applied to each and every interaction that you have today. This clarity of knowing that we are all connected. I think sometimes in the stresses and strains of our daily lives, we can go about all day without really looking at another person, without really understanding another individual. I remember even when I was doing sales training, one of the things that I used to talk about a lot was just being in front of that other person, a potential client, a potential customer, really see them for who they are. What is it that they need right now? What would help them in their lives? If your product or your service is able to do that, then you just have to listen to what it is that they need and be able to share that with them. The same with leadership, the same with relationships. If you knew the truth that there is only one of us in the room, how might you behave towards everyone else in your life right now? And so today I will leave you with that reflection. I will leave you with my unique perspective. I will leave you the truth of who we are. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for being here. It means the world to me. If you want to find out more, visit lazaracanton.com or visit me on social media, Lazara Canton. Thank you.